to give all the value to the homeowners. So they heat for free and we give them all the Bitcoin. So like, it's a no brainer. We get this amazing byproduct that nobody's thinking about and nobody cares. And we got to make something out of it. It makes it an attractive home for Bitcoin revenues and rental revenues. It's a better use of our energy, you know, of our time and our focus.
Yeah, you're all about wasted energy.
Yeah.
That's wasted human energy. Welcome back. Today I have Daniel Tadros from Liberty City, and he has an amazing project I can't wait to talk about right away. I just want to get into that because it's so exciting.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to kind of rewind and get into your Bitcoin journey and how you found Bitcoin. So that's going to be sort of the layout for today's episode, because I just can't wait till the end to talk about Liberty City. So thank you so much. And thank you for joining me from the Dominican Republic. You're on vacation right now.
Yeah, I love your show. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
So yeah, so well, it leads in well because I'm here in the heat and out in Montreal, Quebec. I'm in the Dominican Republic. And out in Quebec, it's minus, I think, 5 today. It's really cold. And so my twin brother and I, a few years ago, we started mining to get it more acquainted. We were Bitcoiners since 2017. And we started mining Ethereum just to get acquainted with the machines. And I think Eric's neighbor, because we live quite a distance apart, but Eric's neighbor says, my twin brother's neighbor, he says, yeah, all the heat, there must be a way to like package it or monetize it. And like Eric and I, we had this light bulb moment where we were like, monetize the heat.
Right.
Package the heat. We're like, yeah, well, let's make a business around the heat of Bitcoin. And so that's how it started. It was the residue of the process of Bitcoin mining. So obviously, like, the Ethereum network, they kicked out the miners. I don't know if you're aware of that some years ago. And we're like, okay, that's unfair. So the only network that really keeps their word and doesn't change the rules is Bitcoin. And we had realized that it was the network that would be more trustworthy.
It's unchangeable, because that's the thing. Some people make arguments sometimes about other crypto that it's a proof of work like Bitcoin is, but that's how we thought Ethereum was until it wasn't. So I like to think of Bitcoin as being different because you can't change the rules of that. It's something you can rely on, right?
The one that had the most integrity, really. Yeah, that was the word. So anyway, so we said, let's make a business around the heat of Bitcoin. So we started iterating and we started saying, okay, so what is Bitcoin? We're like, okay, Bitcoin is revenues when you're mining, and it's heat. We started iterating on all the ideas. So first it was, I'm looking for my words today. I didn't take my medication.
That's okay. You're on vacation and you're just in chill mode. So it's like trying to get back into Bitcoin talk, right?
They're not coming in. So we did a space heater first. It was the first idea. Then we said we could do a pool heater, and then we could do a fireplace, and then we can do a floor heater. And then so we ended up integrating all of these ideas into the Bitcoin home idea, because what better than a revenue home, passive income home without tenants, that where the heat is free in that cold country. Oh, so we came up with this idea. We said, let's do the Bitcoin home. This is a great idea. It was like two iterations away. It was two abstractions away from just like a heater. And we ended up integrating like 9 reuses of the heat in these Bitcoin homes. So we pitched our longtime kind of like a venture capitalist contact that we had. I had taken contact with Tim Draper.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Draper is this amazing, open-minded, one of the biggest VCs in the Bitcoin world.
I saw that. That's incredible. Yeah.
And in the technology world, and I got in touch with Tim Draper many years before. And I told him we were artists and we were singers. And so I guess I'm doing the story at the same time as
that's
the idea.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
I love it.
So me and my twin brother were singers for the longest time. We wrote and produced 10 albums, 30 music videos. We performed around Canada, especially Quebec and French and in Spanish. And yeah. So we were artists and like, but we were really comfortable in swapping ideas and iterating and creating, like just mashing ideas together. And so, and Tim Draper he never like blocked us. So I'm like, but we have this kind of this track sheet of out of the box thinking, because the radios, when we had music album, they wouldn't play us. So we invented this, we bought this big billboard on the highway where we put a radio FM transmitter. So we hijacked the 96.3 FM wavelength on the bridge.
2.3. That's all we get in Chicago.
Yeah, well, us, nobody was on that wavelength in Quebec. And so we bought this big billboard. Anyway, so we told this to Draper. That worked so well for our music career. It really put us on the map. And
wow.
People would hear us day in and day out, 24 hours on 24. Anyway, so we told this to Draper. We said, listen, we think out of the box. We got this kind of technology, mind frames. We had done a few other things. And he was like, wow, you guys are really cool. You guys are good at marketing. And he was like, let's keep in touch. So he gave me one call, Tim Draper, on Skype. Which he funded, by the way. He funded Skype, Hotmail, and Coinbase, and Ledger.
Yeah, I saw tons of companies early on, right? Like, he has a vision for things.
So prolific. Yeah, so prolific. And so he gave me one call. He says, okay, you guys are good at marketing, and you guys are good at this. And he says, let's keep in touch. We'll know who are the big winners in 5 years. And that was already 2017 or something like that, somewhere around that time. And so I kept in touch, whatever. And when we had this Bitcoin house idea, so we pitched him and he kind of laughed it off. He was like, yeah, whatever, Bitcoin house. And then, so we kept in touch for 8 months and we were sending him pitch deck and we were supposed to do a meeting. It was just pushed off and pushed off. Finally, eight months later, we pitched his group and he says, okay, we're going to think about it. And then he says, so we were asking for $10 million, right? We were like, this is great. This is a big idea. We need $10 million. And then, so at the end, he says, this is a good story because I always tell it. And so he says, okay, guys, I'm not going to do it. No, I can't do it. Forget it. So I think he was kind of maybe not testing us, but in the sense that $10 million was way too much to get started. And so he says, I'll give you guys $1 million and you get it done and then we'll see. So that's the way it started. We were like, yeah, whatever, let's do it. This is our biggest break. In our lifetime, in our careers, it was let's do it. So we bought this land and we called the company Liberty City. And we bought a land big enough where there was 2 houses and we partitioned it. And so we made it good for 4. We had to make these requests to the city for 4 houses. Mm-hmm. And so it took us, we had never built a house in our life. Really, it wasn't our business.
Quick shout out to Altair Mining, an American Bitcoin mining company, making mining equipment simple and accessible. They've got everything from the newest at-home lottery miner, the Nerd QX, to powerful Bitcoin antminers, plus everything you need to get started. All the accessories you need, support, consulting, troubleshooting, and maintenance. If you're curious about mining or upgrading your setup, check them out with the link below. It's never too late to learn about mining, and Altair Tech is here to help you every step of the way. I wanted to share the house here so people could see that. So this is a picture right here.
That's the first one. Yeah, that's the first composite. But it looks exactly, the real photo looks exactly like that. The real life house looks exactly like it. And so we took us a year to build it. And we reused the miners of the Bitcoin heat in 2 ways. There was air cooling and water cooling. So you could cool the machines with water or air. So we put both in there. So the water cooling, the exit of that would go into the pool, heat up the pool, would heat up the backyard cement around the pool and the floors inside the house. So we had 9 reuses of the heat. So we really went kind of creative on all the, we had a fireplace, clothes heater, dish dryer, fireplace, and we could heat all the rooms around the house per area.
So do you have them, are they all immersion cooling, so they're quiet? And do you have them in a section of the house?
So the big challenge when people that mine will know that they're noisy. When we thought of this house, we created architect plans with the architects from the get-go, where the miners would be put in a separate room, kind of a little bit under the earth, but it's a real separate mechanical room. There's 12 inches of concrete. So already there, we kind of eliminated the problem, but we do change the fans because the original fans on these are super noisy. They're very effective, but super noisy. So we change the fans for the air-cooled machines. And we also created this whole big setup. So we have one of our partners. I call him the Leonardo da Vinci of machines of Bitcoin mining. So he's like kind of the technical brain. Like he's like a plumber and an electrician, and he's a vent guy at the same time. He's like everything mixed up. So we created like our whole like water cooling system as well with glycol when we warm up floors. They have that in housing up in Montreal and all over the world where you can warm up your floors. So we took this glycol system. So it's not really water. It's part water, part something else. So it doesn't freeze in winter when it goes outside. And so we blended systems. And it was a challenging thing because we had to get all these different trades to kind of work with us. And like, we wouldn't tell them, hey, we're doing this Bitcoin home, because nobody understands anything of that. We would just say, listen, we want all this mechanical room to be cool. Well, the air being ejected and cool air comes in all the time. And, you know, we had to kind of work with.
Yes. Speaking to them in a way of how you need it built instead of talking about how the Bitcoin process would work. Right.
Correct. So my twin brother, Eric, like kind of took care of that. He was really, really good at handling all that. So we got it done, the house, and it sold super fast. Like the first one, I mean, we had it on the market for like a month or two, and then we just bam, we sold it, and at a relatively good price. So our first one sold for close to 900,000. Beautiful home. Okay, made this beautiful home. And that's it. We were like, and then we came back to like Tim Draper. We were like, hey, like we sold it.
Nice.
It was so fun. It was fun.
The people that bought the house, do they then have? Okay, they have an efficient home where they're paying for their energy with the miner, but do they earn any extra Bitcoin too? Is there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the way that we set it up for the first one, because we're still iterating on the business model. So we were our initial idea, and it still is our idea, it was to give all the value to the homeowners. So that, like, to give all the heat, where like, so they heat for free, and we give them all the Bitcoin. So like, you know, like it's a no brainer. Like there's so much value to doing this. We stumbled across like more of some challenges in terms of like regular people really understanding this, understanding Bitcoin, right? Because we don't sell it only to Bitcoiners. If a house wants to be sold to a local that just wants a nice house and there's this amazing heating system, then we're going to sell it to them. We're going to tell them about Bitcoin. We're going to show them what to do. But that bridge is proved to be a little bit hard, in the sense that, you know, they don't know about Bitcoin. They don't know they need to hold it.
You can market it in a way where it's like, yeah, you don't have to talk directly about Bitcoin, but the way that people market energy efficient homes, you know, and solar energy and stuff. I'm sure you have
all that.
These.
Yeah, all that. And honestly, it's what's the toughest thing is, and I'm just being like straight, like full transparent, is that in the Bitcoin cycles, sometimes it makes less revenues. Sometimes it makes more revenues, all depending on the Bitcoin price. And we all know it's super volatile. So that end where we have to kind of explain to a normie that, hey, it doesn't matter. This month, it's costing you a bit of money, but you're still getting your heat for free, but hold your Bitcoin. So it's all this kind of thing where we have to kind of make people, that's been more of a challenge. Well, just for the first owners.
But getting your heat for free alone is incredible.
Yeah. And it's our first iteration. It's a sample size, one client. So, you know, it really all, you know, like we got them as clients and it was perfect.
Was
and
it a Bitcoiner the first?
No, not at all.
That's
no.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And a little bit less open-minded where they in the sense that they weren't so ready to explore yet, like, you know, explore the Bitcoin dimension, you know, but it's all good. This is good. And it's like the first, electric car, like, you know, like it was our first thing, you know, our first iteration. Now we're working on like the monitor where they can see how much they spent, they could see how much they're making, they could see how much they save. So this will really like make the
visualize
experience. The experience.
And it's Liberty City when you move into a new subdivision and it's called whatever the name is, but just seeing that this area of land is called Liberty City is something enticing because of, you know, the way things are in the US, the way they are in Canada, the way they are worldwide. People don't feel like that word liberty really feels like freedom. And
it
how
is.
Many houses on that in that Liberty City area could you?
Yeah, so we built this one, we sold it, and we were like, we were super, super happy because, you know, we got funding by Draper, but building houses is expensive, you know, it costs. So we were like, okay, we got some money back from the sale. We were like, okay, well, let's keep on going. So instead of building, we had money again for one. So, but we decided to build two, like, you know, like entrepreneurs. Like, we said, let's build two. Mm-hmm. So,
and you know, that twins, you guys are twins. So you're going to build two of them.
Yeah. So we were like, let's build two. So, we went on the journey, to build two, and now they're built. So we went and like the private, lending, spaces. So we built the two foundation, and then we went to get some private loans for one, the private loan for the other one. And now they're both finished. Mm-hmm. So this is where we're at. And one of them has been on the market for maybe 1 month or two. We thought it would sell as fast, a little bit longer. But I think right after the holidays, I think we're going to sell them both. Mm-hmm. And we changed the model.
Yeah, it's a funny time of year right now for sure. But
yeah, mm-hmm. It was a bit before Christmas, so it's a bit harder to sell this period. But we iterated again on the, we changed the house, reduced the cost. We made it a bit different. We learned a few stuff. We made the heating redundant in the sense that, like, if you lose internet, then you still have, like, you know, another type of heater because you need the internet.
Right. And then do you have options for like the first home buyer to, like, as you build more and more houses and you have any future upgrades if they wanted?
You mean in terms of the machines?
Yeah, if they wanted to get, I don't know, you said you upgraded the fans and different.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, the way we set it up on the first, we're still going to do that for the second ones and third one, is that the machines are there, they're given to them. They don't even have to buy them. So usually when you mine, people in the mining field know that it takes 10 months of rolling your machines with the electricity cost to break even. So in the houses, we give them a machine. So that, like, 10 months lead time to recuperate the cost of your machine, it's gone. So, and we include it to them, and we give them 85% of the revenues, and we keep 15. So that's what we've done. Like, and so at least we keep a little bit for, like, the repairs and whatever we have to go and set it up. But they can, at any point in time in this setup, decide to change their machines, buy new ones, and just change them. And keep all the entire setup in the home benefit of the structure that's there. That's the way that we set it up.
How many machines does it take to run these homes?
Well, we had between six, I think we had nine in the first home, between six and nine, like four or five water and four or five on air. Really. For the actual need, it's 3,000 watts per machine. You only really need like two to have a sufficient heat. So there's three or four times more heat than we really need. So most of the time in winter, on top of that, there's three machines tops and you have enough to.
So the excess, you're just earning Bitcoin then pretty much.
You're just earning Bitcoin, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're exiting the excess heat. So, so in summer you can heat the pool and you can heat, there's still, we have 7 months of 6 months solid of cold weather here. So the two other months, in fall and spring, they're like, you know, you can kind of manage without heating, but then we got the terrace heater and then we got like the pool. You can warm it up all year long because we really have 2 months of warm pools with the weather. So it's like, it's an all-inclusive, you know, you could use all the heat types, iterations in different times of the year, you know.
Is it hard to switch modes and go to like, okay, I want to turn on the pool heater now. Like, do you guys have like how do you have that system?
No, it's not so hard. We opted for we had a centralized heating and then we had invented these space heaters, these small heaters. With smaller miners that we placed one behind the fireplace, one to dry the clothes, and one instead of the dish dryer to dry the dishes, and we kind of like, you know, we kind of invented like, you know, appliances, you know, and so it's not too hard because you can just turn on the switch for the fireplace, And we even had a, we had a greenhouse, and we had a sauna.
Wow!
So we bought the sauna and we put one of the space heaters in the sauna. So really cool.
So if people need to change the appliance, does it make it easy for them, like, to just switch out the appliance and plug it back in, or is that complicated?
No, I mean, the we didn't. What we did for the clothes dryer, so we didn't like create a clothes dryer per se. We made a corner with our own invention, with our own space heater, where we put a rack, and we had the switches, like, you know, like we created a rack where you can hang your clothes and have the space heater, two space heaters, you know, dry the clothes, you know.
Wow.
So they did it, you know, like you could have a clothes, you could buy your own clothes dryer, you know, and we didn't use that space basically. So, and for the dish dryer, for the dishwasher, we kind of used that slot, and then they could have just removed it, you know, and nothing is like, the way we did the house is the structure is like kind of permanent, where we get all the uses for the water with it passed under the floors, and but you could stop it or not use it, and you're not stuck with that. If you're not a Bitcoiner and say you're like spending too much electricity, and which is sometimes the case, and it's summer and you don't want to mine, you don't have to mine, you know, it's still it becomes optional, because we're selling homes first and foremost for regular people. When you're a Bitcoiner, you know that, you know, I'm gonna keep getting Bitcoin here, and I'm gonna keep it, you know, no matter the price. And so, I don't know if you've ever mined. Have you ever mined?
I've just mined lottery mining, pretty much. Like that's how I've done it. Yeah. I have a couple going. My little squirm, I call it. You know, just
yeah,
a few little miners.
Yeah, because mining is tough. Like it's like just talking about the industry. It's like it's a tough industry, because you're buying all this equipment. And just to do the parallel with the housing, what we're doing. So you got all this equipment, and then you're spending electricity, and then the Bitcoin price goes down. You're like, holy shit. Well, so sometimes you're like kind of spending more. And our idea was, listen, if you're mining, you're still spending more, well, you're still using the heat. So you're kind of saving like a lot, you know, for at least 6-7 months of the year, you're saving what you would have spent on a big home here in Canada, which is at least $200-$300, like at least, or at least you're saving that.
Because even if you're running it, it's heating your home, so you don't have to spend any money on that. So
yeah, and it's like, I would much prefer like selling this a pure Bitcoiner, and he needs to live there in that city, and he wants it. So we're still in the beginning phases of all this, you know. And
how many bedrooms and bathrooms are there?
The first house, we made it a multi-generational house, which is which has an apartment at the bottom, two bedrooms, and an apartment at the top, which has three bedrooms.
Wow.
So it's for families that want to live together. And these days, we know that a lot of families want to move in together because the cost of housing costing is so expensive. Also, people that want to do an extra revenue, they could even possibly rent the bottom part, because it's totally separate.
Yeah.
So it makes it an attractive home for like two types of revenue, Bitcoin revenues and rental revenues. Yeah.
Wow, that's really smart. How many square feet is that, the house?
It's 1,200 square feet per floor.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the basement is 1,002, mm-hmm. and the main floor is 1,002.
Oh, well, so besides, so after the, below the basement, is that where the miners are?
Yes. Okay. Yes, exactly. Yeah. They're like in a completely separate concrete room, only accessible from the outside, and that way, like, you know, we don't have to worry about whatever the sound or the vibration or everything that has to do with that, you know?
That's so innovative, and so I just can't, I mean, I would love to see this house. I know that you were talking about renting the homes.
Yes, so we had actually invited a whole bunch of Bitcoiners at the Montreal Bitcoin event to come down, and we would host people for free, just to sleep at night or whatever, you know, and come and just talk about it or whatever. And so we did that. We were thinking of putting out an Airbnb as a kind of like a unique Bitcoin house experience, which we want to do. We will do. The only thing is that we put all our money in there, so we kind of just want to flip it instead of spending it. We're still like a small startup, so like all our cash is kind of tied in there. And instead of renting it, we really need to try to flip it. But part of our future plans do include, because we want to kind of scale this a little bit, and so it does include building Bitcoin homes. Like we almost did it in El Salvador, where we would get this small, like little casita that we would buy, and we could get it for really cheap there, like, you know, like 50,000 or something. That's what we had in mind. And then we make a Bitcoin home just for the water, the hot water, and maybe a sauna and maybe a clothes dryer. And then we call it a Bitcoin casita and rent it to only Bitcoiners that visit there. And well, we make revenues on you know, Airbnb. That's like kind of our plans.
You built the blueprint for this. So are you?
So we're working on a model where, and I think we're going to do this in Quebec. That's what we're going towards, definitely. Our next step, we have one more house to build on our land. And I think we're going to buy this big land. So I'm still like creative here because, see, I'm like the artist type, you know?
Yes, I get it. But,
Nothing's super baked in all the time. We're just kind of like keep our options open and we try stuff. So I think the next step is we get this big land and we tell people, listen, we're going to do Bitcoin homes. We're known for that now. If you buy land here, we'll give you the plans. We'll give you the know-how. We have the app and work with people so that they integrate Bitcoin miners in the home. That way our concept is a little bit more scalable.
Instead of physically building each one, you could just, okay, got it. Smart.
Well, maybe we still build and maybe rent one, but we're still a startup. We built three homes and like we got like a first like round of investment, which was like relatively small. So, but we got a lot of energy and we got a lot of resources and ideas and we're doing stuff. You know?
When is the conference? Did it already pass recently?
The Montreal conference just passed.
Okay,
that's when we spoke again, right? And I was telling you, come down, we'll put you in the house.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to so bad.
Yeah. So the Montreal conference is in October next year. Come down, we'll figure it out.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we'll figure it out for sure. Yeah. So that's that. It's a lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun.
That's the great thing. You get to create, and you get to, you know, use that creativity to come up with solutions and. The artistry of building these houses and designing that, like, are you guys designing them too? Or do you have help with designing? And
yeah, well, we hired like an architect and we were like, you know, okay, this is what we need. And we needed a separate mechanical room. You know, we needed like the structure to be a certain way so that the vent can be done properly for what we were doing. You know, there were a few things that were required. Like, again, we couldn't tell everybody, like, oh, we're building a Bitcoin home because they just find this crazy and they just don't understand anything.
Are you looking for more funding from other people?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes,
so
yes.
Anyone who's interested in this project, libertycity.io is the website. But I mean, this is like, I'm the type of person to think about what I could see being the future of the world, you know, and I think that why wouldn't this be the home everybody wants to build?
Such a great idea. I like every day, like me and my brother were like, okay, this is hard because it is hard, like building stuff. And but we're like, this is such a good idea. You know, it's so cool. And like everybody should have a Bitcoin home, really. Everybody should, like, you know, just buy a home with like the air conditioning included and it's like Bitcoin miners, you know, Bitcoin heaters. And we put in two patents. Again, we were like creating and we're like, and we got this idea to use the heat to create air conditioning. And so somebody threw that idea at us and they were like, oh, maybe we should do air conditioning. And we're like, yeah, air conditioning, that sounds far fetched. And so we started like, inquiring like the physics behind this. So, you know, like we're artists, but I still do have like a scientific background. I went to college and I did my science stuff in college. I want to be an engineer, right? I wanted to. So, but I never went to the university of engineering, but still had like this kind of engineering mindset. And I was like, okay, so we started inquiring about if that's possible. And it turns out it is possible. So you could take the heat, the rejection of that heat, and since it's free, and you could actually use it instead of a power source, you could use a heat source to start an air conditioning cycle. That's fucked up.
Instead of a power source?
Yes. So heat is actually, it's like energy. And so there's a big loss between taking heat and making energy. But since you're getting the heat for free, then you could use all the heat because you have a lot of heat. You know, like the heat, we saw it as, me and my bro, we see the heat as something to be used, you know, something like, you get this amazing byproduct that nobody's thinking about and nobody cares. And we got to make something out of it.
I have zero engineering background, but I have thoughts like you where I think of, you know, the heat is energy and Bitcoin is energy and it's all the miners working. And my idea, which it could be ridiculous, but like,
no,
it might be along the lines of what you're saying with the air conditioning, but like, it could be crazy if every outlet in the house is powered by some kind of battery that the excess energy gets stored so people can charge their phones with the excess Bitcoin.
Yeah, like battery packs.
Something like that.
It's a good idea. Well, that would be, you know, when you brainstorm, like no idea is out of bounds. Like that's how crazy ideas come about. So yeah, that is a good idea. I mean, well, it's like electricity really, but you would think the source should be battery powered. Yeah. Well, like a Tesla battery pack.
Yeah, because they talk about solar, even with the Teslas, they were talking about building solar so that they could store the extra solar energy in a battery pack. So it's almost like, could you do that with Bitcoin mining energy?
Yeah. Heat? Yeah. Well, it is. Well, it's actually that's a bit like what we were like, kind of like really imagining at the beginning. We were like, every like thing that you open is either hot air or hot water coming from Bitcoin, you know?
Yeah.
So, but your idea of the battery is like, you know, people that use the Tesla, like you got me going now, right? So we're good. Yeah. So, people that use a Tesla battery pack and shut off the electricity grid, actually every outlet becomes energy from the battery pack. You know, yeah. So it really does exist, you know, quote unquote.
With the solar panels that people put on houses, you know, they sell the battery packs for that too. So if your power goes out, you have excess energy from the sun stored there. So why wouldn't Bitcoin heat like be the same?
So if you can store heat, can't really store heat. It's a bit like, I love the analogy. I love how we're going down that rabbit hole. The heat, we distribute it around the house as long as the machines are rolling, and the water too. I mean, we could push this idea much further, have the water pipes all over the house, come up with just even the water tank, which we didn't fully do in our concept. You warm up the water tank with Bitcoin. As long as the source is Bitcoin, then we're winning. It's kind of cool to think about all that. Any way that you like could reuse the heat is a good way to keep on mining Bitcoin. And then the two patents that we put in are so counterintuitive because people are like, you can't use the heat to make cooling. Like, and then I was like, well, you're right, which makes it a good patent thing on our side because that's why good ideas are, you can hold a patent because nobody's thought about it. Right. And it's still counterintuitive, but then when I started searching to figure out if this was really like, you know, it had legs and it was like, even in really hot environments like Dubai where it's super like hot, it is the Bitcoin heat is still a viable source of heat to use for air conditioning because it's constant, it's predictable. It's organized. You can work with it. You don't have to do another contraption to go grab the heat from outside. It's like, you know, it's already coming from somewhere. And it's wasting.
Even thinking about how maybe your Tesla could mine Bitcoin and also charging your Tesla with your Bitcoin miner.
Yeah. I think every car should have, Bitcoin inside the car and that pays the tolls automatically. And that keeps on gaining value. Because let's say you put like 100 bucks of Bitcoin in a car, and it just keeps on gaining. Like you could put Bitcoin in a watch, or in jewelry. So it's there permanently, like a ledger, for example. Right. And so the jewelry goes up in value, but the Bitcoin also goes up in value, and you just do it as cold storage. You know what I mean? So that could be cool. These are good ideas. I'm not going to do that idea. That's a free idea. Anybody can do it if you want.
But it's free ideas. There's so many. They're like you have, and you can't do it all, you know, but you have all these thoughts and you're like, wow, this, yeah. So many things can be done.
Yeah. I give free ideas to my friends. I'm like, you know what? You want a free idea? Like I don't have enough time to do all these ideas. But me, Eric and myself had a kind of a history of using unused resources. Like we did an app many years ago, 5-6 years ago, and it failed really because we didn't have enough funding. We kind of did the Airbnb of parking. It was like unused like resources. So we did like this parking app called Area Parking, and we ran out of money. But we started up really well, and we also had another business where we used unused anywhere where there's unused spots in the city, like we sell advertising on them, like on construction sites, and we unused stuff. We have a me and my brother, we have a history of like one person's trash is another person's gold, you know?
Right. Yeah. Figuring out a way to, you know, not waste.
Use it.
You're wasted. Yeah. Wasted right now.
So I think that's what we did with Bitcoin. It was like we were like, oh, Bitcoin, man, is like we have to like. And we also put Bitcoin on like a pedestal where we're like, this is an amazing like upsell for people that don't understand Bitcoin. Like, what are Bitcoin homes? But it's so like clever in terms of what it does. Because also here, let me put you on a different kind of thinking is, imagine somebody at the beginning of the internet would have said, let me do an internet home. You see, like, you know, like that would be as crazy as our idea. But an internet home is not a good idea because, initially they would have said, well, we're going to have cameras and we're going to have like a doorbell and we're going to have whatever, all the ideas that came up like later on the internet, like whatever, all the stuff for the internet of things, you know. But it wasn't a good idea that much because like our homes, like they create.
Yeah.
And revenues.
Right.
It's like, it's such a perfect fit, you know?
This would just be like, oh, you have so many things you could one day do when the technology comes out. You don't know what the future of having Bitcoin in your home would mean for the future.
Yeah, right. If some crazy guys like us would have said, we're going to do an internet home in 1999, I don't know. I don't know if it would have been a good thing, but I just surely think that a Bitcoin home is so much of an incredible idea because there's heat that we absolutely need. And then there's revenue. It's just perfect.
Well, I just think, I really believe you're pioneering this, you know, because we know the benefits of Bitcoin and how it can help people, like the way you'd have it set up for either rental income or for people living with you, and just this amazing idea that really should be the way of the future. Why wouldn't you own something that also gives back and also produces heat and takes care of something that you need to pay for anyway? So it's just a win-win. Even if they don't understand it, look, your first buyer was a non-Bitcoiner.
We set it up so that we kind of couldn't fail, but like we're so small that, you know, like starting businesses is hard and you could fail anytime. But we set it up so that we can still sell homes and keep the mission going, even though we're not selling to Bitcoiners, because selling homes is more sometimes a local business where, you know, some families want to move in there. But like we honestly, we can keep on going if everything goes well, because to be quite frank, right now it's really tough. We got two homes sitting on there on our lands. It's like, this is like we're grinding as entrepreneurs. But Eric and myself, we're serial entrepreneurs, and we've been in business for a while. I have my own business for 25 years, and we did show business, and we like use creativity to make things happen and survive. And if you don't find like success early and find a revenue source like early, oftentimes it just kind of fails. You need to like, and so this business, we kind of set it up that way where we can like keep the mission going. And I also refer to our project as a purple cow. It's a expression that Mr. Beast coined. And the purple cow, or it's the monkey on the bicycle, it's a thing that when you hear about it, like, you want to tell everybody, like, you know, oh, Bitcoin House, like, it's just so unique. If you see a purple cow, like, on the road, you're like, oh, so you're going to talk about it, you know? So we have, like, our purple cow idea, or monkey on the bicycle idea, but it's so cool at the same time. So anyways, now we are looking for funding, just so because to keep this company going, we kind of needed to sell right now. So things are a bit tough right now, but we're going to get through it. We're used to this.
You want to keep the momentum, and you don't want to, you're just excited to move forward, you know.
I think that's what's keeping us alive. And I have faith, because we believe in it, and we like, and I talk about it, I just, all my lights light up, and everybody finds it so incredible. They find it really bold. And so right now we're funding the company on our own, because, well, like, we built those two homes, and we got a million and something, like, sitting on two lands. So it's kind of tough right now. Like, to be,
I want a Bitcoin house. I want to,
yeah,
build one
for sure. Yeah, well, we can help give you, like, just the tips, or the how to, you know, and figure it out. Yeah, but it gets cold, and it gets cold where you are, right?
It gets cold in Chicago. Yeah, I mean, we have 4 months out of the year.
So you're spending on heating.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. A lot on heating. We don't have a pool to heat, but
yeah, a pool heater is like a few bucks a day. You know, you could easily rack up a few $100 just to heat your pool. So if you're mining at the same time, and by the way, I do think that, like, people will invent, like, or come up with, like, a pool heater where it's a standalone product, mm-hmm. and people are going to invent other stuff where I think it's standalone. I think the whole heating industry will change. I mean, if Bitcoin's promise, you know, arrives and keeps on going, I mean, it'd just be normal that companies, just a whole bunch of heating companies pop up.
Right. Even I love the idea about how you use the appliances, though, like the washing machine.
Yeah.
Runs on that. You're not, so technically you're able to run electricity, like, dishwashers, washing machines, like, all this.
Yeah,
stuff.
Well, we're basically just taking the heat, and any use of heat in the home, we've thought about doing something about it. Like, using the Bitcoin.
It seems so possible that you could plug your phone into a Bitcoin charger. If you could run a dishwasher or an appliance, it's just crazy.
Like, so what you're referring to, which is part of, like, one of the patents that we put in, is heat to energy conversion. So as long as there's heat, you can create energy. Yeah. So the heat loss between converting from heat to energy, the loss is big. That's why, like, we don't see a lot of inventions happening in the world, because it's kind of impractical. It's uneconomical. But where people lose where it doesn't work, where that model doesn't work, is that the Bitcoin heat is totally free, and you're making revenues with it. So it becomes more economical to create energy with a Bitcoin heat.
That's fascinating, because before Bitcoin, it would be a crazy idea. It would be worthless. Like, you wouldn't want to take the time to do it. It would not be valuable to you. But now with Bitcoin, it makes 100% sense. So that's the genius. When you actually see the possibility of something that used to be waste, you couldn't do this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And because we know the promise of Bitcoin, and we know the future of Bitcoin. That's why we can think long term and say, well, listen, if this keeps on going, well, you know, these Bitcoin homes could be a reality. And just regular people, they still don't get Bitcoin. So, you know, so they're like, we're way ahead of the curve, you know. You see, during COVID, I'm sorry if I'm, I keep on going. Guy, this is my entertainment, entertainer. I just talk, but I love your questions, by the way. I was like a conspiracy theorist during COVID, totally. In the sense that the system doesn't work and everything's screwed up. But now, instead of, like, screaming against the system and saying politicians are wrong and this, the system doesn't work and the money's broken, now the only thing I do is I say, hey, everybody, I just stop complaining. And I say, hey, everybody, look here.
Right. I love it.
Look at this. And then so people are like, so like, it makes the world like a better place. Like, and even for the people that don't understand Bitcoin, like they think we're weird. They don't understand. Most people are like, Philip, I don't understand what you're doing. And this will never work. And they're like, you guys are crazy. But it makes the world a better place. You know,
like, they probably think like, you just seem happy and you seem optimistic about the future. Why are you so nuts? Because everything looks nuts. You know, everything looks ridiculous and insane and scary. But that's why I always think that the more people that learn about Bitcoin and learn the truth, it literally starves the attention machine, you know? Mm-hmm. So people aren't focused on the media and all the things they're trying to keep you addicted to.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things in the world you realize are manipulated, and that's why you don't care anymore.
You should make a business out of that. Like the attention, in the sense that like Bitcoin should be like just taking the air out of the room, you know?
Right. How they talk about Bitcoin being a black hole for money. Bitcoin's also a black hole for that attention machine that yes. people are addicted to.
Yeah. Yeah. So we like, it's a better use of our energy, you know, of our time and our focus.
And look at that. You're all about wasted energy.
Yeah. On top of that. Yeah.
So yeah, that's wasted human energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And you see, you could build a lot of products with Bitcoin and not even mention Bitcoin, which is sometimes a good way to do it to get more mainstream adoption. Like we could have just built like heating systems and just given a bit of value to the customers and just capture the rest of the value for us. But doing it this way, I mean, we are in some way capturing like the attention, you know, like putting this focus on Bitcoin, you know, people could do it with bank accounts and you could put Bitcoin in your 401ks now, like what Thaler's doing or whatever they're doing. They put the products and you don't even know it's performing well, like your 401k or whatever that is, retirement thing, because, you know, they've got some Bitcoin in there outperforming all the other stocks, but they don't mention it. So it is making the world a better place. And sometimes, and that's for every entrepreneur to do like the way they want to do it, but it is helping the world. Like Bitcoin is helping the world right now, and most people don't even realize it. Yeah.
And the way you're doing it is because, yeah, you could have easily done, one thing at a time for a house. You didn't have to build a Bitcoin house, but you're doing something that's making a bigger statement and a bigger impact for family life, the family home.
Yeah.
And it's spreading awareness because people will start finding out, like you said, the purple elephant,
purple cow.
So people hear about that and they're telling other people, did you hear there's this thing, you know? So it spreads, it's like its own marketing to it talk is. About Bitcoin because it's a big thing. And it's so incorporated that you're helping people that have no idea about mining Bitcoin on their own or how to keep it quiet or what to do. You're just allowing this to be a turnkey Bitcoin mining. Like, you know, it's just, it's a big statement. It's a purple cow, you know, it's.
Yeah, it's bold. Mm-hmm. And it's a bold statement. It's great. I want to add something a little bit earlier, but I want to slip it in.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm like the same way. My mind jumps around.
Yeah, it's housing is really unaffordable. Well, I got separated 5-6 years ago, and I never rebought a home. And now, with my girlfriend, I'm building homes with my business. For personal, I don't own a home. Cause I moved out with my ex and, you know, I said, and right now I'm trying to rebuy. I'm like, this is so expensive. And I'm like, this is really not worth it. And I don't want to use my Bitcoin to buy a home. I'm like, let me just keep it in Bitcoin. So housing is so completely unaffordable that, when I look at, the housing market, I'm like, okay, we've created a good solution with Bitcoin housing for people to, create revenues, you know, especially our houses. There's a bachelor apartment at the bottom. There's Bitcoin revenues, and you're reusing the heat, so it's a good mix for people that want to buy housing.
What a great point.
Yeah. So that's a good thing. But as a Bitcoiner, right now, I'm looking at buying housing, and I'm like, I could just buy a share of Bitcoin, and I don't like for my personal use. Well, I prefer maybe just Bitcoin, you know, like you know.
You could be more of this, like, look, you're in Dominican Republic right now. It's like you could be more of this digital, like I've heard the term digital nomad, and I love that because you can go and see the world and do things without being
Right.
tied down to a house.
Right.
Yeah,
Yeah.
for most people who think like that they would not want to take the step to buy a home because you would just rather buy Bitcoin, when it is time for them to actually decide, okay, this is going to happen or not because I have a family and I want to do this, you'd want to do it in a home that's giving back to you by saving money on the heat, by mining for Bitcoin. So then you're still like, it's benefiting you in some way. You're not just buying a home. You know, it feels like an empty shell now, now that you know that this is possible.
All the people that are storing their money in housing as a store of value, like all these investors that are not using the properties, I think are slowly realizing, and we're seeing this in the last couple of years, you know, the families that hold like 10 condos in Dubai and all over the world, and how, you know, store waterfront, store their money in waterfront homes. I mean, slowly they're going to take the money away from that, stopping the taxes, sell it and put their money in Bitcoin, and it'll liberate. I think Bitcoin will start liberating homes for their actual use and not for a store of value. So I think in the long term, slowly, I think housing will hopefully be more accessible, yeah, because of Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
The consequence
because I think
of Bitcoin.
That was one thing that I found, one of the reasons that really got me to understand Bitcoin was what you just mentioned, because, you know, I heard that story of, I think Michael Saylor talked about the family farm getting seized, like that kind of story, you know, because it's like you're buying real estate as a store of value and to pass down to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
But as taxes keep rising over time, you're not able to keep up with the property, you know, increase in taxes. You end up having to sell this eventually, and then it gets inflated away. You have nothing to show for it one day, you know. So generations later, if you can't pay for it, you lose it.
And history is filled with examples of people killing other people for their property and for their gold and for their homes. And it's filled with stories of people leaving their lands to fly and take flight and go elsewhere without their property to get saved for because of the wars and all that. And they leave their property behind. Bitcoin is really the best upgrade in property rights that humanity has seen, because now you can take your property with you no matter where you are, change country, and just remember your 12 keywords, and it's yours forever. I tell people this is bigger. Bitcoin is much bigger than what like people think. You know, it's not just digital money or a store of value. The other example that I love to make people understand is that when electricity was invented and came about, people thought it was like a digital candle, and that's all they thought it was. But electricity, like on the protocol of electricity, what was invented was the blender, the toaster, the dishwasher, and you know, the automatic starter for the car, the iron, you know, and then just keep on going that list. You know, like so many things, the radio, the internet. And were invented on the protocol electricity, you know. And the same thing goes for oil. When Rockefeller discovered oil, and he understood, and then he became the richest man in the world because he understood it was transportable energy. And he became the richest person, and people thought, okay, well, this is over. Like he got, this trade is over, basically. But then the killer app for oil or gas became the car. And then it just kept on going another, like it made him become even richer. And so when I explain Bitcoin to people, I'm like, Bitcoin is so many things that you don't know what it's going to become. But what's going to be invented on Bitcoin far surpasses your imagination. And it usually comes by layers, and it takes time. That's why it takes time. We're 16 years in, 17 years in, and it could take another 10 years and another 10 years. And that's what's going to happen.
If you think about it that way, it's crazy because what you're doing is only the beginning. Mining Bitcoin, putting it into houses. you're doing something crazy innovative, but we can't imagine where it's going to go. Plus with the fact that in the past, when you had all these other like oil and electricity that took the direction that they took and the inventions that came from it, were just with human minds. Now you have an explosion of AI and people can use their time more efficiently and come up with answers so much quicker. So we're in not just in an explosion of what Bitcoin could become, but how fast we can find this almost like a reshaping of the things we see around us, like quicker, because we're not doing it alone. You know, you're doing it with like, it's crazy to think about that. No.
And usually like the way it, like I'm 49, so I've kind of seen the internet come about. And, you know, I knew that like I was young with the internet and I was an artist and I had no interest in technology or finance, but I knew that the next technological wave that it would be exponential and I wouldn't want to miss it, you know. But what I noticed is that when new protocols come in, like the last time we saw decentralized protocol was the internet, right? And so it comes in layers. It's like I was there when before Google, you know, and you're like, you know, there was all these crazy search engines, and then we thought Netscape would become so big, and then it crashed, and then Google replaced it. But what the way it happens is that people invent stuff that like a way, like a click or a swipe or whatever, and then it takes hold and it wins, whether it became profitable for the entrepreneur or not, or is just like, and then it gets used, and then it gets built up, gets built on, and then. And then some company gains a lot of like traction and a lot of wealth and like, gets all the value. And then people build on that. So that's why kind of like, since it's a protocol and it's not centralized, that's why we're going to need a few companies to have success and to build stuff. And then people are going to build on it. It takes time, these things. And that's why we're still early.
And it's also like when you said you started off your journey mining Ethereum, that's what's so crazy, because when I got into Bitcoin, it was 2020. You know, you always thought that, okay, Bitcoin is king, but then you thought, what's going to be the next big Bitcoin, right? You think, what's going to be the next coin? I should get some of that, or I should do that. But then the more you learn about this industry, you realize that Bitcoin is different. So it's not the MySpace of crypto. It's not the same thing. So I think when everyone gets into Bitcoin, they think that whatever technology came out, there was always better versions. I'll get the next one that's going to be the real good one. This is just the primitive crypto that, no, this was done right and it was done perfect. And it's going to outlive them all. And there's reasons for that once people learn, you know? So it's like, and that's what we learned over time when we learned more about it. It's not the MySpace at all.
And I realize that we don't notice how much work we put into understanding Bitcoin, because for us now it's so clear. And even I speak to a lot of smart people. My friends are entrepreneurs, are super smart. Some of them sold companies. I mean, they're smart and they understand. And I explain Bitcoin, and I'm like, they don't understand it yet. And I've been speaking to them for 4 years. And the work that we put in to understand Bitcoin, it should not be like kind of underestimated, and everybody understands Bitcoin on their own time. But it took me 5 years to really understand Bitcoin, like with the entrepreneurial mindset that I have. I'm like, okay, we could try this, and then, but at one point you're like, oh shit, okay, now I got it, you know, like Bitcoin is like, you know.
You got into it in 2017, you said 5 years, and I think that the earlier you got into it, it was probably like you've survived so many waves of changes in Bitcoin and seen so much and seen ups and downs and the cycles and the cryptos and all the different FUD and everything that happened. So you've had to like, I don't know, like live through and experience these changes. So it was harder to kind of get to that like point where you understood it. I mean, I think for me, it took maybe four years, maybe a little less, but about 3 years. I don't know what it was, but I think it's because it was later in the stages. So it makes me wonder, as Bitcoin grows and adoption grows, will it take people less and less time to start seeing that Bitcoin is the one over time, because there will be less competition and people will just see that it's the clear winner? Or will it be still taking people as much time because there will be more manipulation? Who knows?
There's a herd mentality where there's like a tipping point where enough people believe and trust it, and then they they adopt it, and then people rely on other people that are smart. They studied it, but to truly like hodl and not sell through the cycles, when you understand what you hold, you don't try to sell it at the first downfall. You try to buy more. You know, you're like, okay, I understand where this is going, and this is not going anywhere. You know, this is just keeps on going up. Bitcoin is so well done is that it aligns personal incentives with helping the world, because you know you want the number to go up for personal gain, to get out of the matrix and beat the system and feed your kids. But I'm also in it like so much for the philosophical change in the world, and I understand that the system is broken and it needs to be changed by something insidious and like technology, where the people that are adopting it, and I think this is the only reason why it's going to win, don't understand. Like if people would have understood what the internet would have done, decentralized communications, there's not one narrative that could be forced on people, they would have never accepted. I could tell you right away, this would have never went. But they adopted because of personal gain. And so Bitcoin's doing the same thing. People adopted because of personal gain and politics. And then, but when they're going to realize that you can't censor an account, you can't stop anybody from, they can't censor a transaction, you can't stop anybody from holding money, and this is forever. And they're going to regret it.
Right. You know? Yeah. I think that's what it is. It's like you see this empathy from Bitcoiners because they look at the world and they think that it makes them sad to think about how things are looking. So you want to see a better future and you want to see people happy. You don't want to live in a world where you're on top and everyone else, you know, is unhappy. And that's why you're doing things like what you're building with the home, because, you know, you're giving people a way to buy a home, you know, even if they don't understand Bitcoin, and then be like, oh, thank God I bought this home, like years later. Just feel like, you know, that really, at least it got me to learn about it, or at least it got me to just hold it and not think about it. And then also just to spread the word that way, instead of you talking about it to your friends all these years who haven't understood, they just see the work you're putting in and the houses that are being sold, the way that this thing grows without you having to say another word about it to these people. They could just see it and see that. And also just hearing about a home that, I mean, you don't have to get Bitcoin and be like, wouldn't you want free heat and then all to collect? You know, I mean, it's like makes no sense to be against that sort of. But I think people just think, again, if they don't understand, they think, well, what if it goes to zero? Those crazy. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's still widely misunderstood. And by doing things like we're doing, which is like super bold, and we're like building on it, because we know Bitcoin is for your stay, and everybody wants to hold Bitcoin for a long time. So we're kind of like putting the little, you know, we're putting the little bug, you know, like just planting the seed, you know, planting the seed for people to think, you know.
Because it's like you want to see a better world. You want to see a more efficient way of, hey, if you're going to buy a home, have it be worth it. You know, don't be like, you feel like it's not worth it to even do so. So yeah. I completely think this is just super exciting. I can't wait to share this video. And I want you to have the best time on your trip. And thanks so much.
I'm leaving today, so it's all back in
you
the,
are leaving? Okay.
Back in the cold weather. But I love your show, by the way. And I love your questions. And
thank you.
It's super cool. And anytime. And So I hope I did a good job on your show.
You did. Yeah, you were amazing. I'm so excited. I can't wait to even have you back and talk about things in the future and see how things are going, and, you know, when people can come possibly, you know, rent one or just stay there for, you know, an Airbnb, whatever you end up doing. Or even if you end up coming up with some electricity ideas, that'd be cool to hear about. So whatever creativity takes you in Bitcoin, it'd be cool to touch base again and do this another time.
Keep on coming up with those ideas. And you're doing a great job too at spreading the Bitcoin gospel. Yeah, you're doing a good job.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I'm definitely going to share this as soon as I possibly can. I'm going to try to hustle because I hate when I keep people waiting because they're so good and I want to push them out. So I really can't wait.
You got a family, right? You got a few kids?
Yeah, I do. I have three kids.
keeping busy, keeping busy. And so you make a living doing other stuff, I guess. This is your extra thing, or you, this is working?
Yeah, out? I'm a hairdresser. So yeah, small business.
Yeah. But is it your own business?
Yeah, me and my mom own it.
Yeah. Wow. Good job. Because you're doing a good job. I love your content. It's really good. And you're really empathic. And your questions are honestly, like, I find the content, I love your content. I should let you ask more questions because, they come from, not honestly, I was cutting you off. I was just like,
no, it's, I love it.
But your questions, you should do more of this. Like, just do more episodes. Yeah. And you could be like an incredible like Bitcoin influencer. Like when I'm going to get this, the episode, I'm like going to introduce you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that young girl, Madison there, that, was it Madison, Michael Saylor. She did an interview with Michael Saylor. She's 18, whatever. I met her in Washington when I went to the conference. Anyways, her videos just like flew and, I don't know if she makes a living off of it, but it's going really well for her. Like, she's super young and she's a good communicator. So I see you like a super good communicator. You should do more of this.
Thank you. Thank you. Really, I would love to. I'm actually, thinking of doing more. I mean, I would love to do this, full time. I love my, but I want to be fully in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So it'd be my favorite thing to do more often. But there's even some people in Chicago that I've met that are looking to do some kind of Chicago Bitcoin co-working space.
Yeah.
They even want to build a podcast. Like, almost everyone has kind of an office upstairs, but they were thinking to put a room in there so we could do live podcasts.
Yeah.
So I could meet up with people there and do shows. So I love it. Whatever.
If you go to the live events, I did a lot of live events this year, could try to talk about our company and get financing, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that helped a bit, it helped a lot because I met all the big, the influential people. So, it's kind of like you're kind of just sitting right beside them. I see them from place to place,
Yeah.
But
you got your hat. I was thinking BitBlock Boom is the next, I think, big one next, before the Vegas conference.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what you've been to.
There's quite a bit. In the U.S., I went to all of them. I went to so many of them this year. I went to Prague.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Washington. I went to Miami. I also went to the Turning Point, Charlie Kirk thing before that he got killed there, as a Bitcoiner. And then I went to, and I'm going to Colombia. So I'm trying to do them. It's just hard because you gotta spend and you're not buying Bitcoin, whatever, but,
right.
But, if you get involved,
you're making connections, right? And you're just,
If you get involved, and you try to do the local stuff, it is an investment. But I find the way that you do it is good. Like, you're just sitting down and you get the interviewees to just answer. I don't know, the answer that you get from your interviewees are good. They're like, yeah, your show is good.
I feel I noticed that. I feel like you guys, every time I talk to somebody, you guys are just, I don't know, it feels like we're having a good time. Like, we're just thinking about things and worrying ideas and,
Keep it up. Keep it
about
up.
It.
Keep it up. Maybe you should go on the street and ask people about Bitcoin or, I don't know, whatever.
That would be cool.
Or some of your clients, the live thing. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about that, even doing haircuts and asking people about Bitcoin and doing live. That'd be cool. But I definitely love this. This is my favorite thing ever. I love talking to Bitcoiners or just, I don't know. I think being a hairdresser helps with being a podcaster because I'm so used to talking to people over the years. So that's definitely a good, entry point. So
and your husband, is he a Bitcoiner?
Yes, he is.
Yeah,
he's actually he's a teacher, but he also sings. He does private events and stuff. He's a singer.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's incredible. Good job.
Yeah, it'd be really cool to see what your work was.
I can send you a video. I'll send you a video right after. I don't talk about it so much but if you go on my X account, you'll see one or two posts down, I created this amazing video that talks a little bit about our journey from music to the Bitcoin homes.
Nice. I
love
that.
It's like a 2-minute video, but I'll send you one of our music videos as well.
Nice. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'll check that out too.
So
thank you.
Cool. A pleasure. So it was an honor, and keep on doing some great work, and thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Thanks for joining me.
All right.
Have a great trip back.
Take care. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye.